Welcome one and all to the very last Friday meeting in 2022, December 30. Welcome to those joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording of today's service or tonight's service. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath gathering. The best day of the whole week is the seventh day. So welcome, dear ones. And what a wonderful God we have. All his many and stupendous blessings throughout this past year. And he promises that since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the potential of even greater blessings coming in this new year, and all because of our Savior's sacrifice. So welcome, dear ones. Our opening song is All the Way. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, diviners, comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
We'll give it a try. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his grace, perfect rest to me is promised, in my Father's house above, when I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. What a precious thing it is to be yoked together with our Savior and to follow his lead. What a comfort it is to know that he will never leave us or forsake us, world without end. Amen. Thank you, Satan. And who would like to have our opening prayer for the service tonight? Please go right ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you again for your beautiful Sabbath day, for asking us to remember it because it holds the seeds of creation. It holds who the Father is, who the Creator is. Help us to always keep your Sabbath holy. And thank you for the blessing that it brings to each one of us. Be with us now as we open up your word. Send the Holy Spirit to bring new words of truth to our understanding. And thank you so much for all of those who are here tonight, today. And be with those who couldn't be here. Give them a blessing also, knowing that their brothers and sisters are keeping us all in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of the blessings you give and forgiving us when we make mistakes and when we err. Thank you so much that Jesus died so that we may live. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest. We are continuing in our study book. Prophets and Kings. We're in chapter 10, dealing with Elijah the Tishbite. In the section, The Voice of Stern Rebuke. And we left off at the bottom of page 131 to the paragraph that starts out, The Widow of Zarephath. The last thing that we were discussing was that the widow's son came down with an illness, and the illness was so severe that it took his life. And the widow didn't understand why God would bless her and her son with his prophet and with the promise and the evidence that they would have food and oil and water, of course, enough to live through the remaining time of the famine, of the drought, and then take her son. She just couldn't understand why God would preserve and then allow sickness to be unto death. And Elijah didn't understand either, but he knew that God was a merciful God, that there was some purpose in this particular situation. And he then asked the widow to give him her son. He took the son to a chamber in the house and laid the child down. He laid on top of the child, face to face, and so on. And prayed that God would bring life back, and God did. And then he brought the live child back to the widow woman, and the widow woman said, "Now I really know that you're a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth as truth." I mean, she had daily evidence that Elijah was speaking the truth and he was a prophet of God, but this really sealed that knowledge, you know, no doubt anymore, if there was any. So what happens next? What kind of spiritual lessons can we garner from this? Why did God allow this to take place? And that's where we're going to pick it up here. Again, at the bottom of page 131. The widow of Zarephath shared her morsel with Elijah, and in return, her life and that of her son were preserved. And to all who, in time of trial and want, give sympathy and assistance to others more needy, God has promised great blessing. He has not changed. His power is no less now than in the days of Elijah, no less sure now than when spoken by our Savior is the promise, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Matthew 10:41. So the faith that the woman had in God sending Elijah to her to preserve her life and the life of her son was now increased through this traumatic event. And sometimes God allows traumatic events to happen to us so that our faith can grow and we can be that much more established in the fact that he is God and that he speaks the truth. He is one in which he preserves our lives because of his love. Yeah. Comment in the room says, don't let a tragedy go to waste. There's a purpose. If you've given your heart to God and you allow him to control and he allows a tragedy or a trial or a persecution or whatever it may be, he allows it to come. There's a good reason why. So don't focus on the negative. Focus on God. And look at the positive that can come out of such a trial or test, if you will. Any other thoughts or comments?
So, blessings, everyone. And I'd like to share a comment that goes along with this, part of the story. It's another lesson about with the birds and then deal with the reward about the reward with the widow woman's life and her son's life preserved as well. But the lesson is about a type of bird, the swan. We used to say the swan is my sixth favorite bird. Anyway, it says here that the swan is such a beautiful and graceful bird. The widow had a beautiful character and served God graciously. She practiced hospitality. Elijah was thankful for her kindness. There are several types of swans. They're usually black or white, although some also have black and white. Most swans nest along the shores of marshes and ponds during the summer. In the winter, you can find them at large lakes and bays. Swans eat mostly underwater plants. Their long necks allow them to reach down into deeper waters. The widow, her son, and Elijah ate bread, thanks to God. They reached down into the deep waters of faith to receive food directly from God. At 2 or 3 years old, swans choose mates and most stay together for life. God desires to be our God forever. Swans' courtship is very local. The male and female may face each other, raise their wings, and call loudly. Some have been known to live for a long time, 50 years. The widow's son died very young, but through Elijah's prayers, God raised him to life again. How thankful she was. This reminds us of Psalm 91:15-16. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Swans use grasses and other plant material to build their large nests. The female will lay from 4 to 6 white eggs. Usually the female sit on the eggs to keep them warm, but the black male swan helps the female. The eggs are incubated for 3 to 35 days, so technically a whole month plus a few more days, and then hatch. While swans are nesting, they will attack anything that threatens their eggs, even people. When the babies hatch, they are called cygnets. Cygnets are covered with grayish-white down. At 7 to 14 weeks, flight feathers are developed and they can fly. Small cygnets sometimes ride on their parents' backs while they swim. The swans are a very close family. Cygnets may stay with the parents until they grow up and choose a mate. God wanted Israel to be his special family, but they wanted to sin. He desires us to be part of his family today. Thankfully, we can be a part of God's family. He wants us to be as close to him as a cygnet riding safely on its parents' back. Isaiah 63:9 says, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. And speaking of swans attacking people, that reminded me of the time that when I was young, me, my cousin Jasmine, a friend of ours named Max, and our old neighbor, Miss Bridget, took us on a stroll one day, and we actually met a family of swans face to face. My friend Max wanted to go toward them to get a closer look, but that's when the father swan got pretty angry. Max didn't get hurt, but he did get scared off by the father swan. We're grateful he didn't get hurt. We didn't want to see him get hurt, but that's just to show, when close to animals, don't get too close. Although we love animals, not all animals are our friends. Some just doing what they do, defending themselves and their loved ones. Same as us if we faced any dangers. But through it all, now we see the whole lesson concerning the swan on about its lifestyle, and I bet it's even thankful for God to give it everything it requires. And I'm pretty sure the widow Zarephath and her son were grateful too, because God helped them through the hard times throughout the famine, and all because of the widow's kindness to Elijah by giving her a morsel and buying her a home, and her goodness was rewarded. She got to have food to last throughout the whole famine. God was even willing to help of the Israelites too. Unfortunately, they were not being thankful enough, and they took all the gifts he gave them for granted, and nowadays in this story are falling in the false idol Baal, who can't even give them even a mite. And just like back then, even today, people are nowadays even using what God gave them for granted, but they pay more attention to other objects, eggs, or even themselves, instead of giving thanks to God. But that's what God even intended for us to do. Just like it was Elijah's duty to preach, to help the Israelites turn back to God. So it's the same duty for us. And who knows, some may be thankful to hear it and others may not. But overall, since thankfulness is the whole lesson between Elijah's story with the widow and the lesson I just spoke to you about the swan. And that's how most people should be, thankful for whatever God can give them. And the duties that we do today, we have to be thankful for as well. So maybe able to help everyone in their time, anyone we can in their times of need. And just as God helped the animals, he's helping us, and we may be able to have the ability to help others when we need to. That's how thankfulness spreads, and that's the comment I want to give.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So, what if Elijah would not have prayed for life to be brought back to the dead son of the widow? Would the child have been given life? Why didn't God just heal the son for the sake of the widow without Elijah needing to be there?
Well, I was going to type it, but it's much easier speaking it. Well, I mean, the first thing that jumps out at that question would be, I mean, that last portion you just mentioned would be that if it was without Elijah and faith and trust in God hearing him, then Elijah would not be part of an increase of faith in his own life, which works by love and purifies the soul. So he'd be missing out, as it were, if it excluded him in the process, just as we should be praying, having a prayerful life as well, that we might experience the graces of God in our life increase.
Yeah, amen. So you can see it was a mutual dependence and a mutual benefit. God specifically sent Elijah to this widow woman and her son. The widow was tested to see if she would share her food with Elijah. And when you read the scriptures, she had to first give Elijah a cake or piece of bread. Then she was to bake for her and her son. So the first thing she baked was for Elijah. What if the widow woman would have said, no, all I have is enough for me and my son, and I can't share any? Would God have worked a miracle to preserve day by day her life and the life of her son if she would have kept it to herself? Very unlikely. So she had to share the little that she had with someone else who was in need, and then God recognized her unselfishness and then worked a miracle to preserve her life. In turn, Elijah had to take it upon himself to pray to God and to do the little that he could to relieve the sorrow of the widow woman over the loss of her son. If Elijah would not have done that, would not have unselfishly ministered to someone who was in great need, then that son probably would have remained dead and the great blessing that could have come from Elijah's unselfish deed, if he didn't do it, would be lost. So God places in our pathway, in our knowledge, individuals who need our help, who need our sympathy, who need our prayers. And if we refuse to help them, if we refuse to try and alleviate their sorrow or their suffering, or if we refuse to pray for them, then it sort of ties God's hands, if you will. He wants to bring forth great blessing to the individual that's going through a traumatic experience, as well as the individual that he's sent to help them through this time. Both can be blessed, but that takes unselfish interest. And if that is not given, both lose out on the great blessings that could have been received. When you look at nature, everything is dependent on some other thing. The bees are dependent on the flowers. The flowers are dependent on the bees. If the bees refuse to go to the flowers would soon have no progeny, no way to reproduce. And the bees would lack the pollen as well as the nectar to survive. So God has placed this mutual dependence in nature to show that mankind has a dependence on other mankind in order to receive the blessing of life being preserved. If we try to selfishly isolate ourselves, we're missing out of the blessing that could have been given to someone else in need, and they're missing out on the blessing that we could have provided them. So with God sending Elijah to this widow woman and her son, shows this mutual dependence, and both received a great blessing. The devil recognizes this, and he encouraged hermits. He encouraged monasteries. He encouraged this isolation so that there would not be the blessing obtained by a revealing of unselfish interest and ministry for others. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, Brad, it reminds me of a comment in the writings of Ellen White, where she says something to the effect that there are people that, you know, the description you're giving, there are those that try to avoid anything that possibly might bring out the worst in them, in their character. And she said, and they think, and these, I think she's talking about Christians, and she said, and they think, if they sort of like made an island to themselves, they avoid helping this one because that might happen, or this could happen, or, you know, all these different scenarios go, just avoid it completely. But she brings out the point, although this is not bringing out the monastery, but yet I can't help but think the devil found them there, do you think? Is that the devil still finds them, and he'll get them where they didn't realize they've got other weaknesses all over by themselves, let alone being with people that they're afraid to be with, in the case that they could be a help to but didn't want to throw out their soul to help. And she says, like, it just, you made me think of that. I mean, you bringing up the monasteries, because of course, by the devil behind that idea was also finding them there to pursue what they were, to the exclusion of the blessings God had designed them to have by being social.
I was thinking about God's perfect timing and the miracles that he does. In my case, it was after they had shocked my heart back into rhythm. There were three large clots that happened to go down in my leg in the arterial, in the artery, which caused an amazing, terrible pain. There wasn't any pulse in my foot, so it was completely blocking the circulation. And it happened in the hospital. And there happened to be a doctor in the room when it happened. And a nurse was there to feel the pulse. She said, there's no pulse. And it's like, I couldn't say anything because the pain was so bad. The doctor just said, what's your pain level? And I said, 100. And he said, do you want morphine? And I said, yes. Well, he says, we're going to do the procedure right here in the room. We're not going to take time to go in another room. And he explained that he was going to go into the vein on the right side, circle around to the vein on the left leg, and fish the clots out of there. It was three clots. He said, it's a good thing that the clots went down instead of up. And if I hadn't been there, if God hadn't intervened for me at that specific time, if that had happened to me while I was at home, I could have lost a leg before I got to the hospital because there was absolutely no circulation. But God saved my life. And things, it was perfect timing. It was his perfect timing. And I praise God for that and the miracles that he does. And he does it for each one of us.
Amen. What a Savior we have, dear ones. So even though God is mighty enough to have continued preserving Elijah's life with bread from the ravens and water from the brook, he allowed those processes to stop and provided Elijah with food and water through another way. So God was still providing for Elijah's needs, but the way he was providing for it changed. Now, if Elijah would have said, you know, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to go over to some other widow that I've never met in a non-Israelite country and city. I want to stay here. He would have missed out on a great blessing and missed out on being a blessing to someone else. And God likely would not have continued to provide for Elijah's needs because he was not obeying God's command. You have the first four commandments dealing with our relationship with God directly. But the last six, more, the majority of the commands deals with our inner relationship with other human beings. And keeping all of God's commandments brings about great blessing, blessing to us and blessing to others. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2. These words have lost none of their force through the lapse of time. Our Heavenly Father still continues to place in the pathway of His children opportunities that are blessings in disguise, and those who improve these opportunities shall find great joy. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58:10-11. Amen.
Amen. So here we see that God providing for our sustenance, our water, our guidance, having light in darkness is all dependent upon unselfish ministry to others. It's conditional. If. Any thoughts, comments, please feel free.
I was in the parking lot in Walmart one night not long ago, and I felt impressed to give. There was a couple of homeless there, and it was a man and a woman. The woman, you could tell she had been on the streets a long time. Her hair was matted. She looked hungry. I had $20 in my purse, and I felt impressed to go over there and give that woman $20. And so I got out of the car, I went over, and I said to her, "You look like you need a good meal." And I handed her the $20, and she almost dropped it. She couldn't believe her eyes. And she grabbed a hold of my hand and was saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And the man that was halfway sitting on the pavement, said, "Oh, God bless you." And I said, "God has blessed me, and He blesses you too." I said, "Take Him with you wherever you go. Don't ever let go of His hand." And he said, "I always hold on to God's hand." And they thanked me very much again. I don't know what happened to them. They weren't there the next time I went. But I felt great that I was able to witness to them. I don't know what they did with the money, but they heard about God, and that was the most important thing.
Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Mm-hmm. To his faithful servants today, Christ says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. No act of kindness shown in his name will fail to be recognized and rewarded. In the same tender and in the same tender recognition, Christ includes even the feeblest and lowliest of the family of God. Whosoever shall give to drink, he says, unto one of these little ones, those who are as children in their faith and their knowledge of Christ, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 10:40-42.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any comments on this paragraph, dear ones? Who would like?
I think this paragraph is talking about Joan.
Definitely there was a reward. Amen. Who'd like to read this new paragraph?
I was just going to say, so glad to hear Brother Dick's voice tonight. We prayed for you the other night when you weren't able to come into the room. We thought you might be very cold wherever you were. And thunderstorms, yeah. Anyway, you're in our hearts, Brother Dick, and we're so glad you're here tonight.
Thank you.
Through the long years of drought and famine, Elijah prayed earnestly that the hearts of Israel might be turned from idolatry to allegiance to God. Patiently the prophet waited, while the hand of the Lord rested heavily on the stricken land. As he saw evidences of suffering and want multiplying on every side, his heart was wrung with sorrow. And he longed for power to bring about a reformation quickly. But God himself was working out his plan, and all that his servant could do was to pray on in faith and await the time for decided action.
Amen. And sometimes that's the hardest trial. To patiently wait for the time to come about. Amen. There's scriptures, wait on the Lord. Now don't rush forward. Don't try to do it yourself because you become impatient. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Psalms 27:14. Amen. Wait on the Lord and he will lift you up. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments or scripture you'd like to bring forward, dear ones? Do you remember what Elijah told Ahab? He said that there will be no dew or rain all these years except by my word. And here we see that Elijah was waiting for the time of decided action. If it was up to Elijah, that time would have already come. But he was allowing God to work out his perfect plan in God's timing. And once God made it plain, once God told Elijah, okay, now is the time, then Elijah would go to work. But until that time came, he had to wait. But he wasn't just waiting, he was also praying. Patiently, the prophet waited. He was earnestly praying all this waiting time. So Elijah was doing what he could, and that was to pray. So, I mean, you look at Elijah and you see he was a man of action. God said, do this, and he did it. Go here, he went there. Say this, he said it. He was willing to do everything that he could in obeying God's command. But when God didn't command him, he was patiently waiting. Praying, of course, but waiting. So 1 year of drought goes by. 2 years of drought goes by. 3 years of drought goes by. And Elijah is still waiting for God. Remember now, it's by Elijah's word that the rain's going to come back. But Elijah is not going to take himself out of God's controlling hands and then do the work himself. He's going to wait for God to give him the okay, the permission, if you will. And until God does that, he's going to wait. But he's praying. And that can be a very difficult thing to those who want action. But yet, it's necessary. Because God's in control. We're not. God has his perfect timetable. We don't. We see things in a very limited, narrow view. And we have our plans within that narrow scope. But God is not narrowed down in what he sees. So his way is the wisest way. Our way is the humble way. Wait on the Lord. And when God sees the time is right, he will definitely let us know. Amen. Comment in the room says, he or Elijah is trusting through prayer. And that's basically all that Elijah could do was to pray. But that brought him closer to God every time he prayed. And God wasn't ignoring his prayers just because the right time hadn't come yet. God knew exactly how long it was going to be. He didn't tell Elijah, hey, it's going to be 3.5 years. Then you can go to work. So Elijah had to remain humbly dependent upon God's timetable and not lose faith, not become impatient. that the time had not come to end the drought yet, even though he saw evidences of suffering and want multiplying on every side, which wrung his heart with sorrow. He still waited upon God. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
The apostasy prevailing in Ahab's day was the result of many years of evil doing. Step by step, year after year, Israel had been departing from the right way. For generation after generation, they had refused to make straight paths for their feet. At last, the great majority of the people had yielded themselves to the leadership of the powers of darkness.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So many years of evil doing had to be broken up. The habit of looking at things in a particular wrong light, the habit of following in the steps of apostasy instead of in the steps of righteousness, had to be changed. That was going to take some time. In fact, 3.5 years. To Elijah's sight, to hit on his timetable, he wanted to end it already. But God saw that there needed to be suffering in order to change the current of evil in the land, to get people to recognize what they're doing is not pleasing to God and they need to stop it. That was taking years. What good would it have been to end the drought in year number two? Would that have brought about the needed change? The answer is no. Would it have ended suffering? Yes. But it would not have ended suffering in the lake of fire for the majority. So the temporal suffering would have ended, but the eternal suffering would have still been there. God was trying to keep the majority of his people from dying forever in the lake of fire, losing their salvation. And the only way to accomplish that was to wake them up. And the only way to wake them up out of apostasy was through suffering. Suffering would wake them up and get them to inquire, why is it taking place? That led them to Baal. Baal, relieve the suffering. bring back rain. You're the God of rain. Bring it back. Year after year after year went by without Baal doing that. So now their faith in Baal is being challenged. It is weakening. They're losing their faith in Baal. That now is preparing the way for them to have faith in the God of Israel restored. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones? So here we see that God is in control. He knows exactly what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and for his people to wait until it's to be done. And we'll find out more next time. In the new year, the first Friday of the new year, we'll find out more. So we'll pick it up next time at the paragraph that starts out, about a century had passed. Are there any testimonies, any comments, thoughts, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Hey, Membro. Good news. I think most of you already know, but dear Lucy's with us. And I was going to surprise you and do that, but there's no one there. She's a bit further along, but I can see her. I can just show you she's been listening in. And she's really glad to be here. It's what we call her country home. Out in the country and getting lots of fresh air and hopefully a little bit of exercise later on. But so good. It really is like her coming back from the dead, seeing her, you know, returning to normal. I don't know if it's the same as what the lady from Zarephath experienced, but it's a real joy to be able to tell you that she's here and she's getting well. On Thursday, I think I mentioned to you, I had, the JW counseled on me, Mr. Jimmy. He was surprised I was there. and we've decided to meet next Thursday, and he's going to bring another JW with him. And I encouraged him, bring as many as you like. It's a very important topic. And so I hope that does take place next Thursday. But I got to visit my sisters and my dear mum. And one of the things that happened on Thursday when I visited one of my sisters, she was sharing the difficult and awkwardness that she's been having with relationships in the family. And I quoted to her Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. I said, this is why I would encourage you. The only way you can deal with it is through divine aid and becoming a Christian. And I got to give her a book, and her husband, they're not married, but what we would call, he wanted to marry her, but she, for some reason, has not married. They've got two kids, and I gave them something biblical related, and so I'm really glad they got to do that, and I hope it goes a long way to helping them. She said, my sister, she opened the present in front of me. It's called America and Bible Prophecy, and she said, oh, James, it doesn't look like there's good news ahead. I said, you know, I meet people at the door that say that, Serena, because I share a couple of stories at the door. They seem to find that amusing at times. And I said to her, you know, Serena, there are people that say, oh, controversy, this is a great controversy book. Oh, I got enough controversies. And she's laughing her head off. And I said, but you know what I say? I don't leave them with that, Serena. I say, have you got any hope? You know what they say, Serena? No. So it's better to have the truth with hope than a bit of the truth with no hope, you know. You're not getting the whole story. So I hope she reads it. She's got the desire of ages. She's not a Christian yet, but the power of good books leading her to the Book of Books, it can make a real reformation. She can have a relief that she currently doesn't have. Burdens truly are lifted at Calvary instead of trying to carry them yourself. I don't know if I told you this story, but a lady said to me last week, James, I shared with her my conversion story, you know, and she said to me, James, you just let it go, like Frozen. And I knew from my nieces that that was a Walt Disney movie. She said, let it go. And then she laughed at herself, and I wasn't laughing, but I said to her that, yeah, but you know, that doesn't work. I've done that as a non-Christian. It doesn't work. And of course, obviously I'm stepping on her toes now because she's not a practicing Christian. She was a former Roman Catholic. And I said to her, it doesn't work because you keep doing that and you let go things. Okay. Let go of your sins, but who you're giving to them to is no one. And so your trust is in no one. And so whatever I conjure up, what comes under that title is what that being is. But I said, but there's no rule. There's no one I can trust. There's no one that I can really look up to with certainty that I can trust my life with him, trust my sins with him, trust cleansing from him, trust direction from him. You know, I'm talking like this. This is good. I only thought I had 5 seconds at the door. It turned into an hour and a half. And she said, well, she took it in. She didn't refuse. She didn't step on my toes. But I thought it's so important sometimes to speak up and help them see, because a lot of people think, oh, you don't talk about religion. You don't talk about politics and the person someone's married to. You ever heard that? We've got the same problem here. Well, maybe you haven't. I'm looking for the problem. Maybe they don't say that over there. Maybe it's a little bit different. But when it's kind of funny because most people tend to let you know, we came from nowhere. We're here for nothing and we're going to nothing. Like evolution in varied forms. And they don't probably realize it because they say, well, what? It's a fact, you know. So we've got to talk about truth. That's why we talk about, you know, religious things, because there are truth bases to it. But it's really good to be able to, isn't it a great gift we have with the tongue? How quickly you can share the truth. Quickly, flash before the person's eyes. They probably never forget what you say if it's spirit-led. And thank you for keeping things in prayer. I haven't been out this week door knocking, but I have been able to do audio editing on certain audios on the FLM website, Free Literature Multimedia. Also got a new tract set up. I wasn't going to show it. I'll go get it. Because I'm in Muslim territory, you know, I'm seeming to meet a lot of Muslims. How about that? Because they've got a real big mosque and a big children institute. Well, this isn't just directed at Muslims, but it says amazing facts about world religions. And it says, is your religion true because you believe it, or do you believe your religion because it is true? And then it basically goes through the contents of a free book, audio book, which is called Come Search With Me. It goes through the preface, introduction, the existence of God, truth, relativism, pluralism, literature, challenge, top feature. So this is all religious based. Highest claim, message and mission, teaching versus life, birth, length of ministry, death, post-death, and the conclusion. And then with the appendices, which is the ultimate design versus aimlessness, Appendix 2, Relativism, and Appendix 3, Pluralism of the Bibliography. Hopefully that will stir. This is good. I think it's going to be good for the people that they look at you when you offer something and they go, they got that look like, this is sus. That sounds like Christianity. And they don't say anything. They just accept, oh, no, don't think we didn't. That's, you know, lovely accents and that. They speak English most of the time. And, but this would be good to put in their letterbox, at least, if not in their hand, because it'll get their attention. Oh, yeah, I'm religious. Oh, yeah, is my religion true because you believe, or do I believe my religion is true because it is true? I'm grateful to put that together this week. It didn't take that long, but thanks for keeping things in prayer. I might be Lucy's carer for a little while. What do you think, Luce?
I think I need one.
Did anyone hear that? I think they did, Brother Bonko. Can I show you?
No, you may not see me.
Oh, okay. Did you hear that? No, it's very low. They can't hear you that well, buddy.
They don't want to hear the current voice anyway.
It's very impressive.
I'm sure
you'll be able to be a bass with me. Thanks for listening, brethren and sisters.
Well, we know Sister Lucy is getting better because she hasn't lost her feistiness. It's still there.
She said, that's true. I also want to say, we're just about finished the latest Voice magazine. And thank you, Brother Dick and Brother Jim, for bringing it to our attention, that the latest one's up. Very interesting topics covered.
You say it's up. Is it posted on the website? I have not been notified. Jim said he was going to send me notice that it was ready to go, but I have not received it. And I don't know where this website is to go and look at it anyway.
I think Brother Jim fixed it that very day at the SRA meeting. And he showed us that. Maybe it wasn't you. I know you don't have a very good internet, so you probably missed what he said. He did fix it that day and, the issue of accessing it, and he had it posted up. Brother Bob's put it in the room, www.srvoice.org.
And when you click on the link, click on the latest magazine, and then that will give you the most recent magazine that our dear brother James has been talking about.
Okay, I'll check it out.
We'll definitely be keeping your contacts in prayer. You definitely planted some seeds in that lady's heart, and I'm sure other hearts as well. And may the Spirit watch over those seeds, water them so they can sprout at the proper time. So praise the Lord, dear brother. Are there any further thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, songs, or requests? Please feel free.
Sister Joan, what is your favorite hymn?
I have a lot of them, but Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I love that song.
Do You know what comes next? Are you going to sing it first?
If you would like to hear, it's a voice that's on key, but it might be a little faint in places. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Trusting. Oh, go ahead, Brad.
Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Amen. Are there any other songs or requests? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the angry sea. Faith can make a desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory. Faith can bring the victory.
Well, I know this is another favorite of Sister Jones. In God's green pastures, feeding by his cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of his pasture fare so wondrously fine. His love sheep am I. Waters cool
in the valley,
pastures green
on the mountain.
In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night, rough the way,
in the mountain,
step by step, my Lord and I.
Through the streets of the city, in the darkness of night, far from the fold, he heard my lonely cry. Now I sit at his table in the palace of light. His dear child am I. Waters cool
in the valley,
pastures green
on the mountain.
In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night,
in the valley,
rough the way,
on the mountain,
step by step, my Lord and I.
In the city of God by the tree of life, eating its fruit is my Lord and I. Talking by the river of the water of life, his close friend am I. Waters cool
in the valley,
pastures green
on the mountain.
In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night,
in the valley,
rough the way,
on the mountain,
step by step, my Lord and I.
Amen.
Hello, Sabbath.
Hello, dear Sister Chaka. Happy Sabbath to you, too, and glad you're here in fellowship with us.
Amen, amen. Glad to be here, amen.
Amen. The last Sabbath of 2022.
Amen.
Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts or songs or comments, testimonies, any last thoughts that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
I know Sister Shaka's favorite song. Don't forget the Sabbath. I think that's her favorite song. Or it's another one about the Sabbath. Yeah, safely through another week. That's right, Brother James.
Let's see, now I was singing it last night.
Amen. Thank you.
Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Mercies multiplied each hour through the week our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face, shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the air the lasting feast. Therefore, us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May thy gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove to each join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove till we join the church above.
Won't that be great? I like to hear God sing. I know he can sing. He invented music, so you know he can sing.
Thanks for singing that song. Thank you.
Doesn't it say in the Psalms that God rejoices over us with singing?
Yeah, it's also in Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. We will rest in his love, we will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. It's been a wonderful fellowship tonight, dear ones. Pray that each and every one of you will have a wonderful night's sleep, or those on the other side of the world, a wonderful Sabbath day. And who would like to have our closing song tonight? Please go right ahead.
You do mean prayer, don't you? It sounded like song. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the joy of fellowship. We pray that these meetings like this, these seasons of opportunity of prayer and praise and song and reading and sharing would be acceptable in your sight as we come with humble hearts, believing in your power to save us to the uttermost through Jesus from self and sin of all kinds, and that we are working with a purpose, working, watching, waiting, and praying. And becoming mature Christians as quickly as possible by a faith that's increasing step by step. We thank you for sending us trials. We pray that you would help us accept trials, the more new, old, and surprises, that we will remember nothing gets you by surprise, and that we can have confidence in thee, because that's a matter of fact. There's nothing that's going to get you by surprise. You know at the end from the beginning. We don't have to worry about the future. You're already there. You don't have to worry about the past. You know all about it. We live in the present, and we thank you for this present. And we thank you that we could reach another year to the end of the year and have the blessing of sisters and brothers we haven't seen for some time or been able to have online, such as Sister Lucy and others. May that precious High Sabbath be a blessing to those that will be partaking of foot washing and communion as they prepare for that, that none of them miss, no brother or sister misses out on the blessing you've intended for them to be at such seasons as this. May our dear ministering brethren be blessed as they feed thy flock as under shepherds to give meat in due season, to increase the loud cry, the last message of mercy that will go forth. And we have the privilege of triumphing with it. Thank you for giving us the privilege to share stories and to hear from brothers and sisters of how God's helped them time and again in the past and to the point of death, literally death being so near, like Sister Joan was sharing. Thank you for preserving our lives, all of us, in instantaneous instances and in instances we're not even aware of. We're so cared for. May our faith soar, not lessen, as we look all about us and recognize that existence of all things that are good, you're the author of. And the existence of bad, the devil's the author of, which is exactly what the Bible teaches. And although we know many people find it hard to believe that such what they call a dichotomy exists, they're sure it means God doesn't exist. It's just the proof he does. That there is a real great controversy going on for our hearts and minds, that we would help them see this in care for them and loving words and looks and prayers on their behalf, that we will be the blessing Jesus, you said we would, like a light on a hill rather than it being hidden under a bushel, that people will praise you and the Father and the Holy Spirit because of what you cause us to do and the reasons behind why we do what we do. Thank you for blessing our dear brothers and sisters, especially who are mourning the loss of very close relations like Dad. May they continue to be comforted another Sabbath without their loved one and be enriched with the promises of God about the saved at last, when there'll be no sorrow, suffering, sin and death to remind us of the world we lived in and of our guilt and how it's the privilege of all to be the most hopeful, cheerful people on the planet despite the great tragedies of life. Please help us not let tragedies go to waste in our life. The tragedy of a life of sin chosen, but yet the love story of God bringing us out of a tragedy that could indeed end up in eternal loss. That it's not your plan that any one of us should be lost. Father, I don't know, your love can't be compared to anyone. Help us remember this and express this to others, lest they think that they are above you, because they simply just don't know you to even make comparisons to begin with. Thank you for giving us the presence of other sisters and brothers, especially over the phone, and may your spirit continue to guide us as we keep Sabbath, that we miss out on any blessing you've intended for us this day that we specifically need as we come to you as needy suppliants, believing we receive because of Jesus' merits and because we're not withholding sin from you, but want cleansing constantly to overcome power from on high. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Bless our brothers and sisters ready for bed and preparing for it, and with us that have the day before us and the world enjoying the Sabbath hours. In Jesus, we thank and pray for doing it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother, for that closing prayer / song. That was wonderful. dear ones, until we meet again, which will be in just about 14 hours from now, go with God and keep on looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.